Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 77 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Chaz Jenkins.
And I'm Haley Stidham.
The TIF board in Moorhead met this afternoon.
Moorhead City Council will vote tonight on a new stormwater quality ordinance.
An effort to bring high-speed internet into rural Kentucky will be completed by next year.
Andy Beshear campaigned in Moorhead today, ahead of the 2019 gubernatorial election.
In sports, the Bengals have wrapped up their minicamp.
Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight, clear skies, low around 50. Tuesday, generally sunny despite a few afternoon clouds, high near 75. Tuesday night, cloudy skies early will become partly cloudy later at night with a low at 56. Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, then thunderstorms developing later in the day, high of 78.
The Tax Increment Financing District Board in Moorhead met this afternoon with developers Luckett and Farley to discuss amendments to the participation agreement between the two. The board's newly retained legal counsel, James Parsons, said that discussions between the board and the developers have been amenable in regards to wanting more clarity on how increment funds will be allocated. Rowan Judge Executive Harry Clark expressed satisfaction with the reputation of the developers and said the only reason he brought up concerns with the agreement was to make sure everything was as it should be.
We just think that, you know, maybe we got ahead wanting room service and bellhop a little bit ahead of the paperwork shuffle. And so that's really why we got to this point, is just simply we just want the, you know, the T's crossed, the I's dotted,
Tim Pitcher of Luckett and Farley also said discussions have been productive and not unexpected given the change in leadership at the city and county level. No action was taken on any proposed amendments at the meeting.
Moorhead City Council will vote tonight on a new stormwater quality ordinance. The city asked Eclipse Engineering to create a plan to mitigate stormwater issues back in 2015. The state has mandated that all cities have to have a stormwater mitigation plan in place by next year. Moorhead Utility Plant Board Director Holly McGrath-Roses says the ordinance is an agreement between the city and MUPB to manage the plan and will continue a new fee structure.
It's $2 per residential. Like a single family home, it would just be a $2 fee assessed for stormwater. And then there's a commercial and an industrial price per impermeable surface. So if you have a lot of concrete, a lot of parking lot, you're going to have a bigger fee because it's the fees are generated by how many feet of impermeable surface that you have.
McGrath-Roses says the revenue generated by the new ordinance will go back into the system, allowing the MUPB to fix stormwater issues as they arise.
Some residents in Floyd County saw a significant increase in their water rates last week. WYMT reports those individuals under the Southern Water and Sewer District had their bills raised by an average of 42%. The district's decision to raise rates came as a result of nearly 1,200 customers being sold to another utility in Prestonsburg in 2017. Jeff Prater is the chairman of the Southern Water and Sewer District Board. He says on top of that, there are also about 700 customers currently without working meters.
We'll have to try and change the meters in the system out as fast as we can so that we can minimize the time that people would be impacted by this flat rate increase. Without a rate increase, the utility will fail when you have a negative cash flow of $40,000 or $50,000 a month. There's no way to sustain the business going forward.
The Southern Water and Sewer District is currently under investigation by the State Attorney General's Office. All of the leadership in that district has been replaced in the last 6 months.
June is Dairy Month in Kentucky, and some top officials in the Commonwealth are hoping to see a boost in the industry. Governor Matt Bevin and State Agricultural Commissioner Ryan Quarles made the proclamation at the Capitol Monday. The dairy industry is one of the top agricultural industries in Kentucky. Spectrum News was there when Quarles addressed the crowd.
Well, it's June, it's Dairy Month, and I'm here to remind Kentuckians that our state's official drink is not bourbon. It is delicious, nutritious milk. And the best thing we can do to support our hardworking dairy families, those 475 plus hardworking dairy families across our state is to drink more milk.
The industry brings in over $180 million a year to the state.
An effort to bring high-speed internet to rural Kentucky will be completed by next year. KNN's Haley Hansen has more.
Kentucky Wired officials told state lawmakers that they expect to complete the project by October of 2020. The effort finally received permission to hang cable from utility poles, which had caused delays in the past. State Senator Danny Carroll.
The group that is in control of this now is doing a great job, and they were dealt a very difficult hand to play when they took over.
The project originally had a price tag of $33 million, but is now expected to cost $1.5 billion. I'm Haley Hansen.
Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear hit the campaign trail with his former opponent today, beginning with stops in Moorhead. Beshear and Senate Minority Leader Rocky Adkins will tour eastern Kentucky ahead of the 2019 gubernatorial elections in an area that Adkins won during the May primary. Beshear told the crowd his campaign would focus not on party lines, but some big issues facing Kentuckians.
Public education does not survive another 4 years under Matt Bevin. Rural health care does not survive another 4 years under Matt Bevin. Our working families don't survive another 4 years under Matt Bevin. So while people have said it off and on for the past 20 years, folks, I truly believe that this is the most important election of our lifetime.
Beshear will also campaign with another Democratic foe, Adam Edelin, in Meade County in an effort to form a Democratic coalition that could potentially win in November.
Governor Matt Bevin has made changes to his pension reform plan, but lawmakers still aren't completely on board. Even though the votes still aren't there, GOP Senate Majority Floor Leader Damon Thayer tells Spectrum News he has spoken to at least one House member who may be coming around.
This member felt like it was a step in the right direction and addressed some of the concerns, especially the date change to April after next year's General Assembly. And I'm hopeful that once members have a chance to digest it, that they will realize that we need to come in, pass this bill, provide the relief possible for the next 6 months, knowing that we're going to have to address this again in January.
Bevin detailed changes which, among several things, allow lawmakers to address issues that arise and provide funding before quasi-governmental agencies have to make a decision on their plan during the 2020 General Assembly session. Those agencies, as well as regional universities and other governmental entities, will face a massive spike in required pension contributions if a new bill is not passed before July 1st.
Applications are being accepted for a new leadership initiative that focuses on helping young professionals in the state's Appalachian region. The Appalachian Regional Commission approved a $500,000 grant for the Leadership Kentucky Foundation. The grant is meant to help create a new program called Bright Kentucky that seeks to help next-generation leaders innovate, collaborate, and advance community and economic development. Bright Kentucky plans to offer nonpartisan, ethical leadership training, expanded networks, and mentors to those who participate. The initiative is aimed at residents in the 54-county Appalachian region. Applications can be filled out online and are accepted through June 28th.
With severe storms hitting the area, Kentucky Power is giving tips on how to stay safe. Summer storm season is here and wind gusts can exceed 50 miles an hour, meaning a big possibility for power outages. Allison Barker is the communications manager at Kentucky Power. She says people using generators during an outage should be aware of any electrical crews in the area and to not operate it indoors.
That can release poisonous carbon monoxide. And if you use a generator, we ask you to look out for our utility crews who would be in the neighborhood to restore power, because generators can feed electricity back onto the line and be hazardous for the crews as they're making repairs.
Barker says before a storm, residents should prepare an emergency outage kit, including things like flashlights, batteries, candles, important medications, and drinkable water. Kentucky Power also advises people to not touch downed power lines during an outage. Taking a quick look at sports, the Cincinnati Bengals have wrapped up their mandatory minicamp for the year. Cincinnati had been holding organized team activities going into the three-day camp last week. Cornerback B.W. Webb spoke with Bengals.com, saying the camp allows for the team to start making some fine-tuning.
We're allowed to stay in the building a little longer. Coaches are allowed to coach us a little longer. So with that, we can get more knowledge on everything that we're doing. And, you know, mini camp, I think the biggest difference is that because going into camp, you really want to get the small things in, whether that be the plays, your footwork or anything.
The Bengals are now off until July 26 when they report for training camp. Regular season play for the team begins September 8th when they head to Seattle to face the Seahawks. We'll have a look at stocks with Bud Luke right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University, offering a weekly summer camp program for children ages 5 through 12. Open to the community May 20th through August 2nd, an inclusive, fun, and active camp program run by certified counselors. Space is limited. More information by calling Zach Martin at 783-5284 or online at morehedstate.edu/recreation.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose, extending last week's big gains after the U.S. reached an agreement with Mexico on tariffs, easing some of the trade concerns which have weighed on the market since early May. In the Dow, industrials did finish with a gain of 78.74 at 26,062.68. The S&P 500 was up 13.39 at 2886.73. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 81.07 at 7823.17. And, of course, President Trump announced yesterday that proposed tariffs on Mexican imports would be suspended indefinitely, and the president said that he had full confidence that Mexico will crack down on migration from Central America after the two neighbors reached a consensus. And shares of GM and Ford, which are two companies that had a lot to lose in a trade battle with Mexico because of production there, jumped 1.5% in the case of GM, and Ford jumped 0.6% in today's trading. Meanwhile, investors are closely monitoring the development in the U.S.-China trade war, and Trump said today that he believes China will make a deal with the U.S. because, quote, they're going to have to, and that right now China is getting absolutely decimated by companies that are leaving China, according to the president. Merger activity was very big today in market action. There was a blockbuster deal in the aerospace industry as Raytheon and United Technologies agreed to an all-stock merger that would create a combined company with $74 billion in annual sales. Salesforce.com announced its acquisition of a data company, Tableau Software, and this is a $15.3 billion all-stock deal, and this marks the biggest purchase in Salesforce's history. Tableau stock surged more than 33% on the news, while Salesforce fell more than 5%. Data out this morning from China showed that their overall trade surplus hit $41.65 billion in May, and this was higher than what economists were expecting. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1.25% at $53.31 a barrel. Gold was down 1% at $1,332.20 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a good day with the Stock 600 index up 0.2%. And in the Far East, stocks were strong as well with the Nikkei up 1.2% and the Shanghai Composite up 0.7%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank up 30 cents at 40.54, CSX up 60 cents at 78.67, Marathon Petroleum up 68 cents at 47.67, PPL Energy down 32 cents at 30.70, Kroger up 47 cents at 24.40, and Anthem was up 409 to finish at 282.22. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon.
I'm Haley Stidham.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins. Now back to All Things Considered.